second meditation, Peter's denial of Jesus, starting in John 18:15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple, and where the Jews always meet. And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. As I was preparing for this meditation, I thought to myself, I wonder if I could just hold my guitar while I talk, because it's much more comfortable that way. But then now I see that all the collars are behind me, and that makes it me a little bit more comfortable, so that's good. I'm sure that most, if not all of us in this room, have never publicly denied knowing Jesus as Peter did here. Or if we did, it was long ago, before we became Christians, before we knew Jesus. Once knowing Jesus, I'm not sure that any of us in this room have ever denied knowing him. So when I first looked at this passage, I wondered how Peter's denial was really relevant and how we could relate it to our Christian lives, to our lives as Christians. But I think that what we need to do is to look at some of the other events in Peter's life that lead up to his denial. And I think what we'll see is, unfortunately, a pretty typical progression of a Christian life. So we'll start with the transfiguration of Christ. And Peter was one of those disciples that was on the mountain when Christ was transfigured. I mean, we talk about mountaintop experiences. This was the mother of all mountaintop experiences, right? I mean, he saw Jesus' face shine like the sun. He saw his clothes become as white as light. Peter heard audibly the voice of God confirming that Jesus was God's son. I mean, that's like the mother of all mountaintop experiences. And he wanted to stay there. He didn't want to leave. We've all had that mountaintop experience where, whether it was when we were first Christians or whether it's a time in our lives when we just really feel close to the Lord and we don't want to leave that place. Now let's cut to the triumphal entry, and they're going in and everything's happening great. And Father David talked about this on Sunday, on Palm Sunday. I can imagine what Peter was thinking. We have a new king, and I'm on the inner circle. Nothing can be better, right? This is going to be great. And then we're at the Last Supper, and Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples. And initially, Peter was reluctant to have his feet washed by Jesus. But then Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Well, that changed Peter's mind. Being very eager and wanting to show his love for Jesus, he says, "Well, not just my feet, my hands and my head too," right? That's Peter's way of saying, "God, I'm all in. I'm committed." I'm going to borrow the Jaguars phrase. I'm all in. You know, not just my feet, my hands, my head, everything. He wanted to make sure that Jesus knew that he was committed at that time. Next, so we kind of have that when we're in our Christian lives. We just want to make sure that we're all in. We've got a passion for Christ. We're all in. We're there. Not just my feet, my hands, my head too. And next we're in the garden. Jesus is getting arrested. Things are starting to become unraveled. Right? But Peter takes a stand. He takes a sword out, cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant. Very bold. Right? He still had that passion and that all-in commitment, But this is where we start to see Peter kind of taking things into his own hands. Jesus had a plan. Peter wanted a different plan. So he starts to try to meddle with God's plan. We've all been there, right? Things start becoming unraveled, and we begin to start taking our own stand. What we think is right, maybe in good intentions, but not the plan of God. Then we see once Jesus is arrested that Peter's attitude really shifts. He becomes hesitant. Matthew's gospel tells us that he follows at a distance. So that stand that he took, cutting the ear off, well, now he's going to follow at a distance. He's hesitant. So you wonder why Peter followed Jesus after he was arrested. I think he wanted to see what was going to happen. I think he wanted to know what was going on. He wanted to see what Jesus would do or what was going to happen to Jesus. I think he wanted to, in some way, be a part of the work, the life, and the death of Jesus. But his all-in attitude wasn't there anymore. You see, Peter's commitment start to waver. I can imagine he started to become worried about how things were going. This was not the way things were supposed to happen. Such a triumphal entry into Jerusalem just earlier that week is now turning into something tragic. Michelle just danced to a beautiful song, and it talked about being worn. I think this is how Peter started to feel. He became worn and worried and tired and scared, and maybe even he lost the will to fight. His heart started to become heavy. This man who walked with Jesus so long and knew Jesus on such an intimate level was hesitant at this point in time to fully commit to this relationship. So, as a result, he ends up being, instead of being an active participant in the passion story, Peter starts to become a content, passive audience member, just watching. He doesn't want to be held accountable. He just wants to see what's going on. He decided to sit back and watch. And let's compare the actions of Peter, and I'm skipping ahead in the passion story a little bit, but let's compare the actions of Peter, who's also called Simon Peter, as we all know, to one of the other people in the passion story, and that's Simon of Cyrene. Now, Simon, he didn't have a close, intimate relationship with the Lord, but he was an active participant in the passion story. When Jesus could not carry the cross anymore, Simon picked up the cross and assisted him. Now, I understand he was compelled to do so, right? But I guess he could have run. He could have tried to convince the soldier to have somebody else pick up the cross and carry him, but he didn't. He didn't just stand by and watch. He certainly didn't run. He took up the cross and he carried it. As a side note here, I often wonder, what would have happened if Simon Peter said, yeah, I'm one of his disciples. Would he have been the one that carried the cross for Jesus when that happened? I mean, it's pure speculation. But if he was an active participant in the story, he could have been. Most of us in this room have had at one time or another a passion for Christ where we would do anything for Jesus. Right, wrong, or indifferent, we'd cut somebody's ear off. We've had that all-in attitude. Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head too. But as we go through life, many of us become worn and tired, and we lose the will to fight. Maybe we just become busy and overwhelmed. Our heart becomes heavy. I think every Christian has this experience. They call it, this is the valley experience, right? So we've had the mountaintop experience, and Peter is now going through a valley experience. And I don't think that it's going to happen. We're all going to have mountaintops and valleys, and I think the issue is how we respond to that valley and does our commitment change in the valley. We still love Jesus in the valley. You know, we still want to know what he is doing. But oftentimes in the valley, for whatever reason, we start following at a distance. We become content to let others take the active role in the work of God while we just watch. And while we may not publicly deny Christ, we certainly don't take up the cross for him. During his sermon on Sunday, Father David says something to the effect of, when Jesus rises to our cause, it is easy to be excited, to be committed, to be bold. That's that mountaintop. That's the triumphal entry. It's easy to have that passion when Jesus rises to our cause. But that's really only half the story. When Jesus rises to our cause, it is easy to be excited, to be committed, to be bold. But will you rise to Jesus' cause, even when things aren't going the way you think they should? Even when you feel worn or tired or busy or overwhelmed? Will you be a mere bystander watching the work of the kingdom, or will you take up the cross for Jesus and take an active role in advancing the kingdom no matter the cost? We've got Simon Peter, Simon of Cyrene. When things are going bad, which Simon will you be?